We're going to check in with Alec now so we don't miss him. Thanks so much for skipping the spot break, PRN studio. We'll get to that later. And hopefully Roz Savage as well will join us before we wrap up today's show. Alec, traveling home, I imagine, or maybe you're still on tour from the Bay Area. You had an incredible appearance yesterday at the Pachamama Alliance. Thanks for being here today on the Green Front.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
You, there were a lot of great speakers, but you really roused the crowd. You brought us to our feet, and there were some 1,500 people in that lunch crowd. You really told it like it is. And what was your impression of it? Was that the largest crowd that you have addressed so far in your 17 years?
Yeah. No, I've actually probably the largest crowd is when I spoke to the Bioneers, and there were something like 10,000, 12,000 people. And then people watching online or something like that. But yeah, that was awesome yesterday. Just the energy was so great. It just is so cool just to be part of that community and part of that luncheon that was going on, and just to be able to support Pachamama, the Pachamama Alliance, and in their work. It was cool.
And what you're doing is very cool. For our listeners who are not familiar with your work, both Kids Versus Global Warming, the organization you started a few years back when you were, 14 or 15, and also more recently the I Matter March. We had you on in May when you were here in San Francisco for the launch of that campaign on Mother's Day. Tell us what's happened with that and sort of what you're up to right now.
Yeah. Well, the march was just awesome. There were over 160 different events in over 45 countries all around the world, and they were all organized by young people, most of them under 18. And ever since then, we've just kind of been working on campaigns. We're turning it into the I Matter movement now, and working on campaigns to be able to train young people who really want to become powerful activists in their community, and just kind of help them with resources and tools and connect people together within the movement and just, you know, really, really mobilize a movement of young people that have emerged from the march and just are ready for their voice to be heard, because we really are, you know, we as youth were affected the most by climate change and all this stuff going on, and we really do have something to say. We're really some of the most creative and most passionate people on this planet, and I believe if we can band together to keep this movement going strong, we can really make anything happen.
And yesterday we heard about a group that was the first time I'd heard about, Generation Wake Up. It sounds like a lot of synergy there.
Yeah, definitely. Generation Waking Up is an organization I've, you know, wanted to kind of, I'm a huge fan of their work. I've been wanting to partner with them for a while, but their message is totally right on with where kind of my heart is and the work that we're doing with I Matter and Kids Versus Global Warming and the campaigns we have going on now. So, yeah, it was great just to be able to connect with them.
And since we last spoke on there, Alec, last May when you were in San Francisco, there has been an incredible series of destructive storms and extreme weather in this country alone during the spring, during the summer. And, you know, things have only gotten worse. I'm sure you've noticed. Does that,
yeah,
if it's possible, even amp up your message and increase the sense of urgency that you feel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, we really are getting close to the tipping point. Scientists all have, climatologists all have their different projections for when that tipping point is, but they're all pretty scary. We're quickly running out of time, and you know, all these effects that scientists have usually been warning us about for like 150 years or even more than that are here, and they're upon us now, and people are still just not getting it. It's still not real for a lot of people, and our government especially, and people who kind of make the decisions and kind of are in charge of, you know, caring for our future are just taking no action, and they're actually spending money to make sure no progress is made. So it's depressing, and it's I don't know, kind of difficult to face that. But at the same time, I just kind of feel so hopeful seeing this energy happening now. Like it just feels like something's pushing through with the Occupy Wall Street movement and even like the Arab Spring earlier this year in the Middle East, and the student-led protests in Wisconsin, and you know, all this stuff is just going on. The energy is here. People are ready. People are ready for something to change, and they're ready to make it happen and for their voice to be heard. So
and maybe
I don't know. I'm excited.
maybe the dinosaurs will, in fact, die off in time, or the fossil fools will get out of the way, because this is a well-funded denial campaign. I mean, that's what I think surprised me as someone who's been covering the Green Beat and particularly, you know, focused on climate change and lack of coverage in the media, that kind of thing, for you know, over a decade. What I never, you know, ever could have imagined, and none of us could, we who have been thinking it's just a matter of educating the public and connecting the dots, and if nothing else, you know, the weather is going to wake people up. We didn't realize we were up against a very well-funded, deep-pocketed, well-entrenched special interest oil industry, fossil fuel industry, and the disinformation campaign being funded by not only the oil companies, most of them predominantly Exxon, but also the Koch brothers, you know, the billionaire industrialists. And I think that's when I really got discouraged. I thought, well, they're bigger than we are. But maybe they're not. Maybe they're not. Maybe they cannot suppress reality.
Mm-hmm. And that's where I feel like kind of like going back at them with the same force, or like trying to go back and like prove people wrong, or like prove that we're right, is not the right way to go about this. Because it's almost like a violent approach, just like going back at them with the same force. I mean, like throughout history, when people were, when a minority was faced against a much more powerful majority, they didn't try to just like fight them off. And that's kind of what we're trying to do when we try to like prove people right or show people the facts. But I think it takes just kind of like going bigger than that and going above that and showing people that it's not about climate change. It's not about carbon dioxide or you know, politicians arguing or whatever. It's about how, you know, the way that we're thinking, the way that we're living is wrong on so many levels, and it's threatening the survival of our generation in more ways than just with climate change. But really, we're living in a way that doesn't appreciate the needs of future generations and only appreciates the needs of you know, short-term profits and convenience and power. And that's what needs to change, and that's the core issue behind all this. And everyone who I talk to, whether they're, you know, conservative or liberal or whatever background they come from, that seems to resonate, because it's, you know, how can you argue with we need to care about our kids' future? And it feels like that's where I feel like the message and the movement needs to be going.
Absolutely.
And I'm
trying to speak to fellow baby boomers, fellow moms with our green tea parties, and what I hear a lot of is, well, you know, the kids are, you know, dealing with it. The kids get it. And I just don't think it's okay, especially, you know, those of us still in our, you know, 40s, 50s even, you know, to pass it on to you guys. I think we should start digging out. And what would your message be to parents who, you know, love their kids and would otherwise do anything for them?
Yeah, totally. Sorry, I just got distracted. We need to catch our flight soon, but yeah.
Okay, just wonder what your message would be for parents who love their kids more than life, for them to not just leave the problem for you guys to deal with.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, it really is a matter of, it's not about all these short, like, money or power or anything. It's about the future of my generation. And I think once people realize it, and anyone who cares for their kids and cares for future generations at all can get behind that, because this really is about not only our well-being but our very survival. And if we continue to just kind of go on with the status quo, continue to just kind of dismiss it as being the way things are and whatever, you know, nothing's going to change, and my generation will inherit a world that was, you know, drastically different than the one that was passed on to us by our parents' generation, and a world that's filled with everything from, you know, extreme fires to disease to ice melt to species extinction to all these extreme weather events that we're already having a glimpse of now. And it's just going to keep getting worse and worse and worse if we don't take action and begin to live and think in a new way. So I feel like anyone who cares for their children has to get behind this, because, you know, there's really no other choice. You can only hide in denial for so long before it just becomes, you know, an act of you know, choosing to not take action when you're faced with both paths. So, I believe we can do it.
And we need to end the infinite growth paradigm, and you have put that so well. And thank you for what you are doing out there. And no, you are not alone, Alec. We of all ages are cheering you on, and yet I don't think we could just leave it to you guys to figure out. You know, we were part of the problem in one short, you know, generation. Perhaps unknowingly, we really, you know, heaped a lot onto the pile. So we should get our shovels out and start trying to dig up and get some of it out of the way so you guys can take over. But not quite yet, you know. But thanks for paving the way, being a trailblazer with your generation, and really, really encouraging to see that. And I'll let you go. I know you got to catch a flight. Safe travels, and go forth and greenify.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And it really is just going to take us all working together and making this happen, and I believe it's possible. So, let's do it.
Well,
let's change the world.
We will, and we'll be back in touch with you down the road a bit. Again, thanks for all you do. Rock on.
Yeah,
and
perfect.
When we come back, we're hopefully going to have Roz on, Roz Savage, the solo ocean rower who is trying to make her way, I think, between New York and Washington, D.C. on a train. Hopefully the studio is going to be able to get her online in just a couple minutes. Why don't we take a break here? And if we don't have Roz, I have another guest who's also an expert on climate. He did not row across three oceans, but he is standing by. So one way or the other, we'll be back with the last segment right after these messages. You're listening to The Green Front. I'm your host, Betsy Rosenberg.